You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Michelle Bollinger. She's talking to me from Chicago. Michelle, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to talk about the work in your studio, but also maybe just to talk a little bit about Chicago as an art center. You've been showing there, thriving there, it seems. How do you see Chicago as an art center? I mean, I know you got your MFA in Seattle, Washington, and Indiana. You've been around the country. Is Chicago a particularly exciting place, do you think, for the arts at the moment, or what's your take on
that? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I moved here in 2006, so I've been here for a good chunk now, 12, 13 years. I always tell people that ask that, people that are curious about Chicago, I think it's a great place to be a young artist because there's a lot going on, but stuff is accessible. Studio space is certainly more affordable than New York. Apartments are a little bit more affordable. There's a little bit more actual space. And since moving here in 2006, I mean, it seems to me that things are just growing. You know, a lot of galleries that start in apartments have gone on to more legitimate spaces. I feel like there are more galleries. There's a little bit more international attention here with the sort of revamping of the art fair. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Chicago's not New York, but I feel like it definitely has a lot to offer. There's always plenty to see. And, you know, like I said, there's plenty of space to make your work.
Let's talk about what you're doing now. I know a show just came down, which we could talk about also, but what's happening in your studio at the moment?
You know, I have been working like pretty small for a while, and I'm kind of trying to like figure out a new sense of scale without just sort of doing the same work bigger, but kind of trying to figure out how to minimize some paintings by making them more maximal, I guess, doing a little bit less bigger. So I'm kind of just like slowly growing them. They're still not very big. I'm working on some things that are about 14 inches by 18 inches, some 30 by 30 inch things, and working, you know, really, really reductively. I work mostly on board, so it's a lot of kind of like glazing and sanding things off and kind of like building up a residue of atmosphere and trial and error. So yeah, I'm kind of working in two different palettes right now, sort of like day and night, light and dark, and sort of seeing where that takes me. I work pretty faintly, pretty lightly for a long time, a lot of whites and yellows. I'm interested in getting back to that, but also experimenting with a darker palette and integrating some graphite. I did a whole series of drawings, when my daughter was really young. They were, you know, a lot more immediate than the paintings. So I started doing these graphite square and graphite powder drawings and washes, and I'm interested in bringing that kind of slick surface in combination with the sort of more sanded and atmospheric paintings. So it's a lot of experimentation going on.
Because I know you've worked on paper and board, but also, I mean, in talking about like space and also having kids, it seems that that all that affects, right? Like what happens in the studio,
totally.
Because you have
totally.
Time now. I know you're, mm-hmm. you know, your child's sleeping while we're doing this interview. There's all of these issues that are, that change maybe, you know, how you're not just approaching it and maybe even the content because you're this other things in your life, children, but in terms of your approach to the work, because you're talking about smaller work and you just talked about the drawings, which were quicker. So I know this is evolved. You're, you know, been a mother for, I think, almost 4 years. So in that time, is that what's partly driving? I mean, and we could also talk about space because obviously, you know, artists in New York, space is so expensive. No one's making giant canvases, right? It's just not happening.
Right.
So how?
Yeah, I mean, it's all connected,
years,
right? Time and space.
Yeah.
Well, right around the time we had our first daughter, my husband and I were fortunate enough to buy a house that has I have a coach house behind my front house. So I moved my studio in there right at the same time that we had our first daughter. And I've always been the kind of painter that artist that, you know, I mean, it's just sort of necessary for me to do it all the time. I work every day, nearly every day, you know, even if it's a half an hour, maybe it's 2 hours, maybe it's 3 hours, maybe it's 15 minutes a day. But I've always been that way since I started making work. So having kids and getting the studio at home, but not in my home, has been extremely helpful to me, because it's just, you know, kind of impossible to plan for, you know, a day where I can get 6 or 7 hours in the studio. So, and it works with my process, because like I said, I'm working with glazes and things that maybe need to dry for a day and then sand. So I definitely work more incrementally, but it helps me keep it fresh, so that, you know, I'm not away from the studio for 4 or 5 days and then I have to kind of go in and reacquaint myself. I'm out there every day, whether it's just cleaning up my palette and mixing some colors or sanding something off, or if I do get a chunk of time and I'm actually painting out there. So yeah, I mean, that really kind of transformed my process. I miss having, you know, a studio away from home. I had a really big, beautiful studio here with great light, great studio mate, and great neighbors. So it is a little bit more isolating, but it keeps me doing it, which is most important, like I said, to me, and always has been, just sort of like the continual working. So it's not, you know, I'm not jumping back in new every time. I do a lot more looking at the work too. You know, you're sort of strategizing, thinking about how to best use your time when you actually get in there.
Michelle, let's talk a little bit about the show you recently had. I know you were in a show at the gallery in Chicago. The show was with contemporaries of yours. It was Soak, Stroke, Scratch, a group show at Melanie Cooper. Can you tell me a little bit about the paintings that were in that show? Because they were also from a time period, a range. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there were some larger paintings that were older, from about 2013 or so, all the way through some smaller paintings, about 14-inch square, that are current from 2019. And in general, my process is pretty maximal. I don't really know what paintings are going to look like when I embark upon them. I have questions and things that I want to respond to and things that I want to try. So while the paintings are fairly like fun and fresh and lively in their color, they're pretty beat up in the studio. I do a lot of sanding. I do a lot of turning them over. I do a lot of painting things out. I'm not just precious with them if they get nicked or they get dropped or things like that. Sometimes I kind of sand like edges round, sand through the gesso down to the wood. I like all these handmade qualities in those sort of more heavily worked paintings, but some of them, you know, are really quite light in their touch. So I would say, you know, 90% of the paintings I make are a struggle and a back and forth and a search and a dialogue with the painting. And then once in a while you get one that can be kind of quickly resolved and realized. And there's a couple paintings in the show that are that. And it kind of tags with, you know, experimenting more with working on canvas. Like I said, I've mostly worked on board for like a very long time, at least a decade, because I like that hard surface. I like to carve into it. I like to sand it. I like the painting to be, you know, a bit of an object. So I'm trying to figure out how to resolve some imagery on a canvas so that I can continue to experiment with that sense of scale. So yeah, some of the paintings were really light and really minimal and got a really good response. So
And what were those paintings? Was one of those paintings light tuck?
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the newer ones.
So let's talk about that one, because that one did seem very, very, very distinct. It's a beautiful painting. It totally drew me in. But tell me a little bit about that, because, yeah, that is very minimal and has a very different feeling than a lot of other paintings of yours.
Yeah, it's kind of reverting back to a palette that I used to work with a lot before, you know, when I was in grad school and even post-grad school 10 years ago or so. I was really all about kind of like eliminating value from my canvases, my paintings, and I worked very, very faintly and was very interested in just slight shifts of temperature and color, and in general, I like the paintings to kind of teeter on opening up some perception and then kind of flattening out, you know, abruptly, right? So that they can play tricks with your eye in terms of space and feeling and depth, and then kind of reassert themselves as, you know, flat two-dimensional object. So yeah, that painting is a lot of just like soft dry brushing on canvas. I like a lot of, like I said, the history of a painting, the process of a painting, its handmadeness to be evident. So there are a lot of like kind of faint color lines coming through layers of white on top. And oftentimes, like I said, that comes through a lot of sanding, a lot of mistakes, a lot of rotating the canvas, you know, kind of layering weird colors to get dense atmospheric variations. But this one was just more direct, and it was a case, and it has happened before where, you know, you start a painting, you work on it for a while, maybe you turn it around for a period of time, a few weeks or a month. And then I looked at it again and I thought, well, I think maybe that is done. And, you know, I went back and I think I touched up a few very minor color variations that no one but myself would probably notice. But it was important to just kind of have that time to look at it and think about it. And like I said before, you know, looking has definitely, maybe that comes with experience for a lot of people, but spending more time looking at paintings has definitely been a larger part of my process as I've gotten older and matured into painting.
And how did that painting affect the ones that you were doing forward? Because that was 2018, right? And now it's a year later. Is that kind of minimal aesthetic, you know, because that is so unusual. Is that continuing to affect your work?
Yeah, it is. I haven't done one like that on canvas, but I am trying kind of similar one that's a little bit more like curvilinear on board, a similar palette. And I'm going to try some similar ones going back up to that three foot size. But like I said, color-wise, I feel like I kind of did my work sounds like this sort of night and day where I'm returning to that light palette that's sort of mainly focused on temperature variations and then sort of darker ones. But yeah, that painting, when I came back from the show, I unwrapped it and put it back up on the wall so I could look at it.
That's cool. And so are you also still drawing? I mean, talk about like the time constraint. Is that also part of your process? Because it sounds like your process is you go into the studio and there isn't something mapped out. It's very kind of, I don't know, like you're saying, there's a dialogue there between the paintings or between yourself and the painting, but it doesn't sound planned. So how does the drawing figure into what's happening now?
Well, the drawings were things that I could just like, you know, go in and execute in an hour and be done. And I've actually not really been much of a drawer. You know, I don't draw with pencils much. I really like working with this graphite powder because it seems like a painterly way to make drawings to me. I like just kind of pushing it around with my hand. I use taped edges. I kind of cut them down. And, you know, I'm interested in kind of figuring out how I can combine my painting language with my drawing language. So some of the drawings that I'm working on now, I'm, you know, gessoing paper and putting like kind of oil slick colors and stains behind them so I can create these sort of slick, shiny and spots, you know, very good for drawing. They're pretty hard to photograph, like I said, it's sort of like a slick of linseed oil underneath graphite, you know, kind of shifts with the light. But I am still working on those drawings and, again, trying to combine some of the graphite powder into shapes in the darker paintings. But yeah, the drawings are pretty big. They're on a normal like 22x30 inch standard size sheet of paper. But I've had a lot of people respond to them as sort of like printmaking prints without printmaking, and they do kind of seem like that to me. It's a way to sort of define edges and also as a way to remove graphite. So I'll continue to add tape and layer graphite and kind of go through that process and then strip away the tape and it peels up some graphite. So you're getting these kind of nice soft atmospheric surfaces, you know, with the pulp of the paper and the tape that's kind of similar to what I get with the sanding. So yeah, it's been a fun experiment, but you know, drawing really kind of comes and goes for me. Like I said, I'm a bad example of a drawer for a painter. I don't work in a sketchbook muck. I think mostly in color and surface. So, that's what makes sense to me.
And, before I ask you the last question, is there anything else you want to plug? Shows coming up? There'll be links in the interview for people to find out more and go to your website. But is there anything else you want to say that I should have asked about or a show you want to plug?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Actually, I don't have any shows up coming up right now. I've just had a couple come down at the start of this year. So it's just looking like a solid summer in the studio for me thus far.
Well, that sounds nice.
It does.
One question I didn't ask was, you know, your children know you're an artist, the older one. Does that have anything to do with what also influences your work? Does your child say things or do things that changes it all the way you're looking or thinking about imagery?
It doesn't. I don't suppose it changes much what I do, but it sort of makes my heart melt when she'll come in and say, "I love that beautiful painting," or "That's a nice pink line, Mommy." So I have a little easel out there with me, and sometimes she comes out there with me, and I can do a little cleanup or a little prep work, and she'll paint and work with me, and she'll say, "I like that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one," and, you know, it's sweet.
Well, I love that. It's sweet, but it's also, you know, so direct, right? It's nice for kids to be, you know, it's so different than adults. I remember when I was wanted to be sort of influenced by a kid. I didn't have a kid, but was babysitting someone's kid, and at the time I thought, you know, I'm using so much black and white, I want to learn how to use more color and be freer, like kids are. I just got out of school, and so we were finger painting, and I remember painting, and suddenly he turned to me and he said, "Oh, that's a really nice painting you're making." And I realized how I wasn't looking at his work, and I'm like totally in my own ego and sense of what I'm doing, and it's really nice to be taken out of that a little bit, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the lack of filter on kids is really great. That show that I had open at Melanie Cooper Gallery, it opened actually on my due date for my second child, which I did not have her that day. I went to the opening, and we went out to dinner before the opening with my oldest daughter, and she was very sweet in telling the waiter that she was going to Mommy's art show that night, and all on her own volition. So very adorable. She's aware of what's going on, and you know, we show her things, and it's great fun to take them to museums and galleries and just sort of hear how they respond to things.
Yeah, that is wonderful. So one more question I wanted to ask, what you're reading at the moment.
I'm sorry, what was that? I didn't hear you.
What are you reading at the moment?
Not too much art-related stuff. I'm actually reading Michelle Obama's biography right now. About halfway done with that. And, you know, I read a lot of kids' books. The Gruffalo, mainly, now.
Michelle Obama's
book
The Gruffalo.
Oh, yes, well, you know, she got a new book, and then I've read it about 100 times in the past week.
Michelle, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today and wish you well in your studio progress and work. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks. It was my pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.